Matthew Deagle. I'm your host, Matthew Deagle. On this show, we generally discuss astrological symbolism and the power of thought, how our thoughts and symbolic subconscious influences ultimately collectively as well as individually guide our lives. Today, I have a guest on the show here, Michael Horn. He is the authorized American representative of the Billy Meyer UFO case. Michael?
Matthew!
Yes, you're there. Okay.
Oh, of course.
You sound a little quiet, though. Maybe you should turn up your volume a little bit there.
How's this?
That's a little better. All right, so today, I've had Michael on every Friday so far. He's basically a regular guest here. We want to discuss some of the more recent developments regarding Islamists in Europe. Michael has a blog, theyflyblog.com, on which you can read. That's theyflyblog.com, where you can read his most recent posts about the threat of ISIS and the threat of Islamists, which was prophesied by Billy Meyer, over 60 years ago, right?
Just under 60 years ago.
Under 60 years ago, right? So around 58 years ago. Huh. What do you have to say about this? Start out with.
Well, you know, it's funny, not funny, ha ha, but funny in the sense of trying to actually figure out where to start, because for some time, look, we just mentioned Meyer first published information 58 years ago in 1958. In 1981, 1987, 1995, 2004, specifically Billy Meyer, and Billy Meyer, along with his Pleiaran extraterrestrial friends, discussed the specifics of radical Islamist terrorism and the danger, not only as they spelled out first to Paris, to France, to Europe, but now to the entire world, which has been absolutely neglected, minimized, diminished, and pushed to the back burner for the most part by the media, the government, and everything else. And I will only add to that, so we have to understand that this horrendous terrorism that is, as Billy Meyer told us even a year ago, we haven't seen anything yet of what they are going to do unless stopped. This is allowed to continue because there are always parties who are profiting from it. Countries like Turkey, Qatar in the Middle East, other parties and individuals trading in oil and what have you. This goes on and is allowed because it's always the, well, it's not going to affect me, or I can make a bargain with these demons to not bother me or us and just go get everybody else. Those types of things not only generally don't work, but when you're dealing with an absolute, you know, psychopathic horde ever growing in numbers, all bets are off. So unless we, the world, takes Meyer's specific warnings about the only way to stop the IS, let me repeat that, the only way to stop the IS is with a concerted, coordinated international military effort, a true global military force. And we're not even discussing right now what the problems or strategies are of putting such a thing together. Rather, that if we don't figure out how to do that, we could go back literally to the Dark Ages in many places.
So basically we need to create a new NATO type of organization that involves Russia, because Russia is absolutely essential to getting rid of these terrorists, since they control a lot of the territory that borders on them. If we continue to encroach on Russia, we might end up in a war with them, which would be even worse than ISIS. So it's essential that we do, as Donald Trump has recommended to much controversy, that we do gradually phase out NATO and replace it with some new organization of a similar nature, but which involves Russia. Or we could simply allow Russia to join NATO somehow, maybe rename NATO, because NATO was originally developed essentially to counter Russia's spread and to respond to Russia. Therefore, it's basically obsolete. I mean, The organization is essentially a way for America to maintain a military advantage on Russia in Europe. It's very dangerous.
It is dangerous, and we're living on a round, in what I like to refer to as a speck of cosmic lint. And if we, the people of this world, do not find a way to come together, certainly in just and righteous causes for peace, freedom, harmony, love, those things that Meyer says are the cornerstones, really, of us becoming true human beings here, we will have unimaginable suffering. It has been specified and foretold as long as 10, 13,000 years ago in this material. And that's why, you know, we beat on the walls and doors and windows and try to, you know, scream fire to get people to pay attention. It is not, you know, the easiest thing to do. People are distracted.
Yeah, and also, if anybody out there thinks that NATO is going to keep you safe from Russia, keep in mind that you are letting in millions of Islamic refugees, many of whom are turning to Islamism, and I'll explain later what the difference between Islamism and Islam. But who do you think Russia will have for the pickings when they want to recruit an army to overthrow you? Obviously, if you think about it, if your country is hostile to Russia, and Russia is a relatively conservative country with a large Muslim population, clearly Russia, I think, has a better chance at making allies of these Islamists in Europe once their headquarters in Iraq and Syria break down. And Russia could well use the Islamists as an army to destroy Europe from the inside out if you continue provoking them. Very foolish strategy on the behalf of the Europeans.
You know, Matthew, my understanding from the Henoch prophecies, it appears to be that rather than Islam being, a joint force, at least not for any period of time, it appears, from my understanding, and maybe because you can read it in German, it's different, that while Islam will be the force that takes down France, for instance, and causes trouble, you know, as well in other countries, probably Italy, as you pointed out, will be attacked, even fall to Islam. I think that it would be more like Russia and China than commandeer the forces and the armaments, because the mentality of the Islamists, not just the Muslims, but the Islamists per se, it's a medieval mentality armed with great weaponry and stuff. And Russia would know that they'd have that brood of vipers to deal with eventually anyhow. So my own guess is that...
Well, the USA and Russia both have a history of supplying Islamists, like the Taliban. We supply the Taliban, right? I can easily see Russia actually using them as an army. But I think that, initially, part of it may be the threat of the chaos getting out of control with ISIS in Europe. It could go either way. It could either be that Europe... falls to ISIS so much that Russia's threatened by it and then has to respond by intervening. Or it could be that Russia is so threatened by European and American encroachments that it uses ISIS from the inside to attack Europe. I mean, that's happened. Remember Afghanistan? The USA did that exact thing with the Taliban. But
I was going to say the other thing to remember, if I can remember the other thing was... To remember, it's so funny. I'm gonna jump on something there about the whole situation. Yeah, I got it now. It's also foretold that among the countries that Russia is going to go streaming through again will be Turkey. Now, when Meyer published the Henoch prophecies, and by the way, Iran as well. Now, when Meyer published the Henoch prophecies that he took down in 1987. Even the earliest German publication of them, which was some years later, foretelling all this, I don't think anybody at that time, or even until fairly recently, would see a reason why Russia would trouble itself to attack Turkey and Iran. I mean, isn't Russia an ally of Iran? So we have some signposts.
Well, the Russians are closer allies of the Armenians, though. And Armenia hates Iran as well as Turkey, right? So Armenia has if Armenia has a strong influence on Russian policies, and they are Christians as well. So keep in mind with the religious divide there, The Armenian Orthodox Church or the Apostolic Church is closer to Russian Orthodox Christianity than almost anything else.
Right, I would think.
I can easily see how they would. I can see how they would want to destroy Turkey and turn it into a Christian country, as well as destroy Iran.
They may, but here's the thing. It was, I think, the recent thing with Turkey being responsible, wasn't it? There a taking down of a Russian,
Oh yeah, the Turks have been very kind of double dealing in this. But funnily enough, the most recent thing to happen was that one of these terrorists, Ibrahim el-Bekraoui, who blew himself up in the airport in Brussels, was captured by the Turks on his way back from ISIS. The Turks captured him and they extradited him carefully to the Netherlands. It was the Dutch who released him. They released him because they didn't have enough evidence he was connected to terrorism.
Yeah, well...
it wasn't the Turks this time. It was actually the Dutch doing it themselves.
Right, so the Turks shoot down Russian planes, then they turn over terrorists. I mean,
the other thing is that the Russians were bombing Turkmen, right? They were bombing essentially Turkish. It's like, you know how like Germany has a bunch of German nationals or used to in Poland, right? Well, the Turks have a bunch of Turkish nationals, or ethnic Turks, in Syria, and the Russians were bombing ethnic Turks, so...
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stupid aspects. This is why we need to have an international peacekeeping force, because if you don't, obviously you're going to offend either side, and there's going to be some kind of resource dispute. It's just a recipe for chaos we have going on right now. But a major element of this, as Meyer has warned us about repeatedly, is these heretical religions. That all the religions as they exist today are heresy. All the popular forms, at least, are heresy. Now, obviously, not every member of the religion is a heretic necessarily. Some of them might practice the customs of their religion, but be much closer to, say, the spiritual view of the world. But in general, these religions are heretical, which allows them to be corrupted into these completely insane forms. Like, in my opinion, Ted Cruz, for example, is just as dangerous to the world, to global security, if not more dangerous than ISIS. He already speaks of his plan for ISIS is to carpet bomb, kill civilians in the hundreds of thousands. He also has spoken nonchalantly about nuking the Middle East to see if the sand will glow. And the man thinks he's some kind of messianic, prophesied Christian conqueror.
Yes.
I mean, this guy is like a forerunner of the Antichrist right here. And then, I mean, we're talking about a guy who literally is... in my opinion, looking at his astrology and his personality, the guy is quite possibly an actual schizophrenic. And what happens with these sorts of people like him, and Mitt Romney is another example of a possibility of this, is that they essentially are so far into the extremes of religious paranoia that their personality breaks down, and through their belief in this God or other figure that controls their life, they actually create an alter ego which gradually takes over their consciousness. So they become essentially possessed. This is where the idea of demonic possession comes from, right? Is that it's actually an alter ego you create in your mind, which calls itself a saint or Jesus or Allah or whatever, in order to deceive you into thinking that you're on some kind of mission from God. It then commands you, as we often note, it tells you in little voices in your head that you have to kill yourself and kill other people with you or that sort of thing. And his behavior is so schizophrenic, so dichotomous between total polar opposites that he's so paranoid about this or that little moral hypocrisy, but then he has no qualms about and says he won't apologize for saying he wants to carpet bomb civilians.
Right.
I think this guy may actually be possessed by Satan, so to speak, or the closest thing in reality to that.
Well, he's the right wing version of a New Age channel in the negative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing with. I mean, Baghdadi. It's pretty clear what's going on with him. Is he's an extremely lunar person, full of hatred. He's comparable to the French revolutionaries and the Bolsheviks. Somebody who just sees evil everywhere and wants to destroy our society to create a new one, a utopia. But, again, that level of psychopathy can lead to this kind of schizophrenia, and who knows, there might be some alter ego, again, of an opposite character. I call it the refrigerator effect, because often these religious fanatics are so they're so repressed in all of their own actual desires, and so paranoid about sin that they create a separate personality where all that heat has to go. You know, an alter ego or a refrigerator. You know how a refrigerator puts out heat in order to stay cool inside. creating someone like Ted Cruz. And I think he's much more dangerous than Trump as well. I mean, Trump has said some stupid things, but overall, he's been learning. It seems like he's waking up to reality during his campaign, strangely enough. Like he's being advised by Michael Flynn, etc. But as far as Islam, I mean, you mentioned Michael Flynn in your most recent article, actually.
Yeah.
That it does appear some people are waking up to these dangers and possibly might at least mitigate them. I don't know if it can entirely be stopped at this point, though, because it does seem that the majority of those with political power are still in line with self-destruction. But certainly there's a possibility of mitigation. I mean, it does say if those, in Revelation, for example, if those hours were not shortened, then surely the whole world would be destroyed. I mean, that's pretty much what we're dealing with here, is that people are, certain groups like Ted Cruz and ISIS are basically apocalyptic suicide cults, and they want to bring about the apocalypse. Ted Cruz identifies as an apocalyptic warrior and conqueror. Glenn Beck recently identified him as, he thinks, the fulfillment of a prophecy of the white horse of Revelation that goes forth to conquer. This is interesting symbolically because the white horse, it's a horse, right? A horse is an animal you ride, again suggesting that he's being ridden by something else. It's like collective negative influence, i.e. what we would call a demon or Satan, or some people call it Jesus, right? The anti-logos, or the this doppelganger, this false Emmanuel, the pseudo-Christ. If you actually read the Bible in Greek, he doesn't even say anti-Christ, but pseudo-Christ, or a false Christ. In other words, an imposter pretending to be some kind of moral figure or some kind of teacher of truth, and in reality is a snake.
Here's what I would say. I think that it is interesting. We can go into a lot of this, what is the symbolism, and in a sense the reality of how horrendous this stuff is. We also at the same time have to, and we can, realize that this one man in Switzerland, Billy Meyer, has specifically been warning about this since the 1950s. And so do we perpetuate to either wring our hands, become frozen like the proverbial deer in the headlights? Do we simply complain and whine? Or do we see things as they are, and in so do it? Pardon me.
Well, I'll try not to say anything too controversial here, but in my opinion, things are so bad that until we have an international peacekeeping force, some kind of Robin Hood-like group needs to start getting rid of these people or something like that. I mean, I don't know what to say. What are we going to do in order to stop people like this? I mean, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, if you're in Iraq right now, for example, or Syria, if I were in Iraq or Syria right now, I'd be thinking about assassinating the guy. I mean, Baghdadi is going to destroy all the ancient culture there and possibly kill more and more thousands of people. I'll discuss that in a second here. What I wanted to say, we're going to come up to the break here in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to mention that this is not, I mean, look, all the religions, as I said, are heretical to one degree or other, and this is not about Islam per se. A lot of people make it about Islam because they have an agenda of their own, right? They want to demonize Muslims in order to make out their own cult as being the savior, when they are actually themselves Satan incarnate. Just like, as I said, Ted Cruz is Satan incarnate. The guy's evil as hell. Everybody hates his own roommate in college says that if he would rather vote for a random person in the phone book than for Ted Cruz. he said this guy is a nightmare of a human being, and he lived with him for like 2 or 3 years in college. Everybody in Congress who's worked with the guy says they hate him. Lindsey Graham joked about that if somebody in Congress killed Ted Cruz on the floor of Congress, then nobody would convict him. Nobody. If the trial were held in Congress, nobody would convict him.
Well, Lindsey,
that's how much they hate this guy.
I think Lindsey Graham just endorsed Cruz, but said he thinks Kasich is a better candidate, but he can't win. So
that just shows you how full of it these Republicans are. He's endorsing a guy that he basically joked about killing. Like the guy's I don't understand it. The Republican Party is such an insane ideology. I mean, I guess they were just asking for this sort of situation all along. But if they do something to Donald Trump to put Cruz in as the nominee, then watch out, because that guy could bring about civil war in this country, or at least secession, right? The things he proposes, he wants to basically overturn everything Obama did. That's going to create massive division in this country. That would result in there being enough division to justify maybe California or Oregon or Washington seceding from the Union.
Well, also, if they, you know, get him in there or float him, it's more than likely then that somehow Hillary Clinton would become... I mean,
could become president, too.
Yeah.
But then again, well... We're going to come to the break here, though. I wanted to tell people if they have any questions. I don't know if we're going to have enough time for any call-ins, but the number to call is 844-769-2944. I'll mention, more importantly, though, because I don't know if we're going to have enough time for call-ins, my website is matthewdeagle.com. Michael's website is theyfly.com. That's theyfly.com. You can also check out his blog on theyflyblog.com. And again, my website is matthewdeagle.com, MATTHEWDEAGLE.com. So after the break, I'm going to discuss the difference between Islam and Islamism, according to the Playaren, from this contact here from November last year.
Right.
As well as some of the prophecies of Muhammad as they've been passed down to us through presumable corruptions or whatever, but it's still interesting to note that some of the prophecies seem to be coming true. So coming up to the break now, but after the break we'll be discussing Islam, and the lack of a response to it. We got Michael Horn here as a guest. He's the authorized representative of Billy Meyer. You can check out his website at theyfly.com. That's theyfly.com.
Zu Himmel, sonst bin ich verloren. Der listigen Schlange zum Opfer empfohlen, hab er sie vergönnt.
Why do people order Life Change Tea? Because Life Change Tea helps the digestive system. Life Change Tea helps the colon unclog. The tea also helps with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and many, many other health issues. Life Change Tea also tastes great. And Life Change Tea is not just green tea. Life Change Tea is a unique blend of 8 different herbs that go to town, cleaning your body of harmful toxins, bacteria, and parasites. Our tea is number one. Are you ready for your life change? Let the tea help you. Log on to our online store of helpful products to get your body on track. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Not all tea is equal. Read our website of all the factual testimonies that prove that Life Change Tea is working. Health is important, and our quality of life is very important. Don't wait to order. Expect a life change with Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the 4 most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio-Superfood. I've taken Bio-Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer: Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUSFLY or order from carnivora.com. That's C-A-R-N-I-V-O-R-A.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUSFLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today. By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
I've got my guest here, Michael Horn, the authorized American representative of the Billy Meyer UFO case, or I should say the UFO fact, the only really confirmed UFO contactee in the world, the only person who has any real proof and extensive scientific information, prophecies that have already begun coming true, as well as some which have come true, scientific predictions which turned out to be discovered 10, 20, 30 years after he published them, etc. Michael, are you there?
I think so. It's me.
All right. So, first of all, I mean, I discussed the possibility that these Islamists in Europe might eventually be used, ironically, against the European Union as a Russian Taliban-like force. It actually does say, even in your English translation here, which you can see on theyfly.com/prophecies/prophecies.htm, France will not only be invaded by the aggressors from outside, i.e. Russia, but will be conquered from within as a result of collaborative forces and other forces.
Specifically,
this can be envisioned as being the many foreigners of a different religion living in France at that time, and specifically Islam, which will be this force working from within. Once France has fallen, a war to conquer Spain and England will take place. Subsequently, an alliance with the forces of the aggressors will be formed. So Russia will make an alliance with these people, which will then invade Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, in the same prophecies, it talks about Russia invading the U.S. and also Canada.
Oh, it talks about Russia basically burning the U.S. alive. I mean, what they would do is, apparently, they're going to use these weather weapons that are still top secret, but enough information has been leaked about them. For instance, in the book Angels Don't Play This Harp, you can read about some of the more primitive forms of this, which are publicly known, such as the Harp Project.
Right.
These directed energy weapons can be used to create firestorms to destroy vast swaths of land. And according to the prophecies, the Russians, if they do get into a war with America, this is why it is absolutely imperative to ally with Russia and not to provoke Russia, not to favor NATO over an allegiance with Russia, etc. Eventually, what is prophesied will happen is Russia will use such firestorms generated by the directed energy weapons to burn the entire Corn Belt, basically, to destroy our crops. So they won't necessarily even blow up our cities, but they will kill us by destroying our food supply. You see?
Well, they are. It also does say America's greatest cities will be destroyed.
Yeah, America's greatest cities will be destroyed, and all our food supply will be destroyed. So whoever's left alive, yeah. I mean, this is not necessarily going to happen. You see, people like Ted Cruz think that the apocalypse is an inevitability, and they almost want to bring it about with the kind of gleeful attitude that their savior is going to come back. In reality, these are warnings. The prophets were warning us of what would happen if we didn't act logically.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah, they were not telling us this is God's will, okay? They were telling us this is what will happen if humans don't change their thinking and behavior. So never think of the book of Revelation or these other prophecies as being predictions of something which absolutely has to happen. These things do not have to happen. We can actually make peace if we just think logically. We still have a chance. There's still 20 or 30 years until this actually happens, in my opinion, although it could unfortunately be sooner.
Yeah.
So, again, I was going to discuss, I said before the break I wanted to discuss the difference between Islam and Islamism, according to the Playaran, however. A female Playara is called a Playara. The Playara and Yana states that I must point out that in the recent months, people have been referring to this ISIS terror militia as a Islamic state. But actually, it is not Islamic proper, but Islamistic, as Billy himself has been calling it since the beginning, the Islamistic state, not the Islamic state. Mm. Now, the difference is, first of all, Islam is a religion. The meaning of Islam is essentially submission to God, or submission to Allah. Whereas the meaning of Islamism, according to the Playaran linguists, the suffix ist in this context in relation to the Arabic language actually means to be turned away from God or to be a blasphemer or a heretic. So actually, the word Islamist, as opposed to Muslim or Islam, means heretic, blasphemer, or heretical sect. That's an important thing to point out, because Islam itself, as she points out, the majority of Muslims are really no different fundamentally than Christians or Jews, although there's lots of propaganda about them nowadays, presumably put out by Christians and Jews. I mean, in reality, the average Muslim, if anything, has a problem with being excessively docile and submissive, not with being excessively aggressive. It's that they tolerate the aggressive people out of this attitude of kind of just not interfering in things and letting things be, letting because it's the will of God or whatever.
It's a very interesting point.
Yeah, it's the average Muslim is not at all like these ISIS guys. The average Muslim is might even say in a survey that they condone some of these things, but that's because they're cowards, basically, to be honest. It's because they're mostly cowards. Just because they've been taught to be submissive by this religion. Now, I'm not saying Islam is 100% false. As a matter of fact, the Playaran have told us and given us sufficient proof that Muhammad himself was a real prophet and was a contactee of the Playaran themselves. He was the predecessor of the current prophet, Billy, or the current teacher. He doesn't like the term prophet. I guess Muhammad technically is the last prophet in this lineage. But his teachings were falsified. First, his cousin Ali took the teachings, and he mixed it with Christianity and used Christian terminology. For example, Muhammad never referred to God, right? He used the word creation in Arabic, al-Qadir or al-Khaliq or al-Bari. He did not use the word God or Allah, right? The word Allah originates in Christianity, not in Islam, or not in the original Islam. Now, the word Islam, as formulated by Muhammad, did not mean what it means today. Originally, the word Islam comes from a root aslam, or from salama, in this context, meaning to give over or to submit or give in to something. What that originally meant was the teaching of submitting to the laws of creation or giving in to the way things really are. In other words, not thinking with this false humanitarianism or revengefulness or any other positive or negative excess, that's the original meaning. The present meaning, according to the Playaran, is simply, again, submission to God. Or they say Gott ergebenheit, which means literally to be like given to God. or Allah, right? That's just the word for God in Arabic. It means the God. Again, so it's been falsified. Many words in Arabic have been falsified as well. For example, the word that means believer in Arabic now, mu'min, it originally means absolute knower. It means somebody with absolute confidence in the truth. Now it means believer. So the Arabic language has been falsified, and along with the Arabic language, in concurrence with that and helping along on both sides, the religion of Islam has been falsified, leading to eventually worse and worse degenerations. Now, we've seen this before. This is not something new. We have seen the exact same kind of degeneration into fanaticism and revolutionarism and hatred with the Christian religion. Because if you don't recall, back in the days of Constantine and the early Middle Ages, also known as the Dark Ages, Christian fanatics murdered millions of people, or at least hundreds of thousands in Rome, destroyed countless priceless cultural artifacts and scientific documents, and basically brought Europe back 1,000 years in evolution.
Yep.
So it's not just Muslims, it's not something fundamentally evil about Islam. There's nothing wrong with Islamic culture or Arabs or whatever. It's just a disease which has gotten out of control. It is a disease which we can call heresy. Islamism is, in fact, heresy. They aren't following the teachings of Muhammad. You can read the original teaching of Muhammad translated into English and German from the original Arabic in Goblet of Truth, which is a free PDF available from Figu right now. Go to figu.org and search for Goblet of Truth PDF. You'll find the entire thing, the original teaching, most of the original Quran, or at least a large section of it, certainly Surah 2 is in there. We'll show you that Muhammad's original teaching was 100% logical and rational, humane, but not excessively humane, right? It wasn't barbaric, though. It didn't condone this kind of insanity.
Right.
So these people are, in fact, not... I'm not going to be a takfiri, I guess. In Islamic culture, it's considered very taboo to say someone's not a Muslim, right? But I'm going to say that these people... Like, remember, even Obama said they're not Muslims. I'm not going to say they're not Muslims per se, but they are very bad Muslims. They are heretics, you see? They are Islamists. And Islamism is a false, heretical sect, which Muhammad himself, if he were alive today, you can be guaranteed, in fact, his reincarnation, his spirit form is alive today, right? Muhammad's spirit form is alive today, and he doesn't agree with what these Muslims are doing today, these so-called Muslims, these Islamists. He thinks that these people are barbarians, and he's pointed out that according to the Pleiaran calculations, ISIS only follows approximately 2 to 5% of the teaching of Muhammad. The other 98 to 95% is barbarism and falsification and corruption. I would estimate that even the average Muslim probably only follows about 20 to 30% of it. Now, of course, if you look at Islamic culture with an honest and neutral eye, you'll see that it's not all barbarism, however, that there are teachings from Muhammad which have had a positive effect on their society. For example, they don't have the levels of materialism, and at least not in general, right? In some places they do now, but they don't have the levels of, in general, the levels of materialism, immodesty, whoredom, and so forth that we do in the West. Unfortunately, in place to that, they have the opposite. In the West, we have an excess of egocentrism, and in Islamic countries, they now have been ground into the dust as far as their ego and their own self-will, to the point where they simply submit. So, it's kind of the same dichotomies between the USA and Japan. You know, the Japanese are too submissive and too collective. Americans, on the other hand, are notoriously selfish, right? So both ways are bad. You don't want to go to either excess.
Right, right.
But so what I'm saying here is that there are things we can learn from Islamic culture. Not from Islamists, but from Islamic culture. The same way we can learn things from Japanese culture. The same way that the Japanese learned from German culture. The current Japanese industrial society and their notoriously good hard work, their work ethic, their highly productive culture actually is not Japanese originally, but they adopted that from Germany in the Meiji Restoration. So the Japanese can learn from Western society. They've improved their society significantly by learning from the Germans. Why is it that the West can't learn from Japanese society or from Islamic society? I don't know. Maybe it's a kind of self-adulation or ignorant hubris, but it's certainly a bad thing when you see Christians thinking that Muslims are the Antichrist or whatever, when the Antichrist is in their own midst in the form of people like Ted Cruz, who could actually bring about the apocalyptic war that would kill off 90% of Americans. I mean, here is a man who, if he goes ahead with what he wants to do, nuking the Middle East and provoking Russia and maintaining NATO and all this nonsense, we would actually, within a decade or two, see the mass destruction of our own country. That's not in our interests. And here is this serpent seducing us into the abyss. And you think you're afraid of Muslims? No, you know, Muslims are, like, Islamists are dangerous. And here's the thing. My view of it is that both Christians and Muslims, and Jews as well, are all dangerously afflicted with this religious fanaticism and with this hatred and ignorance of their common bonds. Because we're all on one planet, right? We're on one planet together. We have to learn to live in peace, or else we're all going to die by killing each other or by fighting over resources. My view of it is that, however, it is not good, as we see in Europe, to try to mix these cultures together and to try to reconcile them falsely with false humanitarianism, because they disagree and they are not going to change their mind anytime soon. Yeah. You know, like it's like, you know, we're dealing with a situation where you've got a couple kids that are beating each other up and pulling each other's hair on the playground. but then in comes the supervisor, Angela Merkel, and tells them, just get along, boys, get along, and then walks away and expects them not to continue fighting. She doesn't separate them, right? She doesn't take the two kids apart and put them in separate places. She doesn't put them in detention. She just tries to put them in the same place. In fact, what she does is she invites some of their friends over to build a fight. She invites in some other angry boys from one team to fight the other team. In other words, like, Angela Merkel is a delusional fool, and someone like her should be forcibly removed from power. She should be impeached immediately. It's amazing to me that instead of that, we have the United Nations Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, recommending that she become the next Secretary General. This woman who created this chaos, even she is apologizing for it. I mean, even she can see the disaster. Incredible. Now, as I said, I have no beef or qualms with Islam in general. I don't hate Muslims. But I do think that Islamists are dangerous, and I do think that they're going to inevitably be among the Muslims. The fact is, no matter even if 90% or 95% are just peaceful people looking to make a living, that 5%, because we're not screening anybody, it's totally chaotic, we're not able to control who is allowed in and who's not, that 5% is dangerous, as extremely dangerous, and will kill people, as happened just now, and is going to continue to happen.
They wholesale kill other Muslims without any compunction.
And that's the craziest thing about it, is one of their first targets, because they're Takfiri Muslims, one of their first targets, alongside Jews, their first target is other Muslims. Right? Their first target is supposed to, so-called apostate Muslims, who don't wear a covering enough hijab, or who believe in a slightly different interpretation of Sunni Islam than them. I mean, it's like you're sitting there, as I said this before, you're sitting there in your Euro shop, and you think that you're free, you're a refugee in America, and you finally found refuge from those lunatics over in Syria, and then they move in next door. Suddenly you can hear Salih Sawari playing in the next door apartment. I mean, come on, people. Like, a refugee is somebody who's escaped from some crazy oppressor, and the crazy oppressor's ISIS, and then you're letting the crazy oppressor in to follow the refugee and attack him? Absolutely insane. Clearly, these people aren't thinking clearly, but this thing here, though, I wanted to mention also the prophecies of Muhammad, because Muhammad has been identified as a real prophet, although his prophecies and his teachings have been falsified and corrupted in their form that we receive them today. He does say, however, that he calls him the Sufyani, a man, in one of the hadith, he says, a man will emerge from the depths of Damascus, he will be called the Sufyani. Most of those who follow him will be from the tribe of Kalb. He will kill by ripping the stomachs of women and even kill the children. Now, if you recall, last year and the year before that, that is exactly what Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's army did to the Yazidis. They actually did slit the bellies of pregnant women. So, unfortunately, this tyrant, this bad Muslim tyrant, the Sufyani, has been fulfilled by ISIS. It's actually referred to throughout the Hadith that there are multiple Sufyanis, not just one, which means that this ISIS is probably going to continue on even after Baghdadi dies. There's going to be another one.
Meyer has already said that because of the way we are treating this, just cutting off one head does not, you know, the Hydra, you know, eliminate more heads and other limbs are emerging.
Not only is it a Hydra-like organism, but it's a suicide cult. So fundamentally, all they need is to have some suicidal man to become a lone wolf. In fact, the majority of the ISIS attacks throughout the world have not even been planned by ISIS themselves, but simply recommended by them. They just said, all right, if you're a disgruntled, suicidal young Muslim man out there, kill yourself and kill some other people with you. And that's actually happened. The San Bernardino attack was only loosely connected with ISIS itself. The lone wolf shooting over in Chattanooga, Tennessee was not even directed by ISIS, but it was an ISIS-inspired event. I mean, the incredible thing is, then they go, oh, well, the solution is to just cut off their propaganda. So the Obama and Hillary Clinton solution is to censor the internet so that ISIS can't put their evil tweets on their Twitter account. But no, the solution is just to, first of all, maybe you want to deal with mental illness before it reaches the level of suicide, because, you know, we have murder-suicide people that aren't Muslims, right? Like the guy in Kalamazoo a couple weeks ago. We have lots of murder-suicides happening all the time that aren't even ISIS. ISIS is just taking advantage of this by turning it into a weapon. But it's already an existing problem. I'm not saying that these are lone wolves or that these aren't terrorists. I'm saying that terrorism has taken on a much more dangerous new form with a bit more psychological knowledge. But the prophecy of the Sufyani continues saying, a man from my family will appear in the Haram. The news of his advent will reach the Sufyani, and he will send to him one of his armies. He will defeat them. They will then travel with whoever remains until they come to a desert, and they will be swallowed. So it is prophesied that somehow these armies of ISIS will be destroyed. Unfortunately, if you look at the word khusuf, that means to be swallowed, it might be interpreted in modern times as meaning like to be hit by an air raid. So I don't know if that means international peacekeeping force or just World War III. I don't know, but a lot of prophecies are interesting. If you want to look into more prophecies of Muhammad, you can look at discoveringislam.org. It has a bunch of them that they've kind of filtered for the more questionable ones. It gets pretty strange, though. Remember, I don't subscribe to any religious cults, right? Just like Billy has stated himself, as far as these cults are concerned, you know, he's an atheist or whatever. He's not really an atheist, of course. He's actually a teacher of the spirit, in contrast to an atheist. But as far as they're concerned, you know, he denies a lot of their fundamental dogmas. But this allows him to have a neutral perspective. That's the same thing with me. I don't subscribe to any particular religious cult because I consider that the religions are all corruptions of the one truth, which has been taught over and over again and then falsified over and over again. So it's time for us to try to maintain the real thing without introducing all of these heresies. Michael, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Well, look.
So,
I was going to say that I think that, you know, you've laid out a lot of stuff here. You know, there's material, of course, very deep material in the Meyer case. And when we go back to the idea of what are we going to do about it, there are micro and macro moments and micro and macro movements that people can take. A lot of people will not be able to do anything on the macro level, on the larger, more global level. So I think our discussions should, be developing now that a lot of this has been exposed and the groundwork has been presented, that we should get the input of your listeners. We should get people discussing and asking and questioning how and what to do in one's own life, because it is the, you know, as we've mentioned, the Macht der Gedanken and might of the thoughts that determines the life, the life of the individual and the life of the collective.
Yes, in fact, my show is all about how really these events in the world are able to be prophesied with such precision because they result from thought forms. So even 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, Muhammad or Emmanuel was able to prophesy these things because they logically follow as a consequence from our thoughts. And if our thoughts change, though, you know, it's like we're building something on a certain framework. If we change the framework, then the building changes. We don't have to experience hell on earth. This is the consequence of our thoughts. Individually, you can change your own thoughts. You can decide not to be imbalanced and not to be illogical and not to support Ted Cruz or to support Angela Merkel, not to be extremely left or right wing, but to be neutral yourself. And you can choose yourself to meditate on logic and peace. For example, you can participate in the peace meditation, or you can learn from the books Mind of Thoughts and The Psyche how to control your thoughts. I strongly recommend both of those books are available from theyfly.com. Might of the Thoughts and The Psyche are both available now, as well as Goblet of Truth. Those books are probably the most important books in print right now. Billy's books, I'm not exaggerating at all, are the most important thing happening on Earth at this moment.
That's true.
While Pope Francis is over there kissing the feet of refugees, as far as their theology is concerned, the second coming of Christ is here, and he's ignoring it. You see, the show's over now, but I'll be back on Monday. Thanks for listening. Check out Michael Horn's website, theyfly.com. Signing out with Real Astrology.
I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the most important products in the realm of health and hygiene I've ever seen, all from Trioxy. As many of you know, ozone oxygen is highly effective for many different uses in the home or office place, from purifying the air you breathe to the water you drink. In fact, the city of Los Angeles, among others, uses ozone to purify the drinking water for millions. Uses of ozonated water produced by the Trioxy Pure include washing your hands, disinfecting cuts and infections, brushing your teeth, and even washing and sanitizing fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. Meanwhile, the Trioxy Re-Ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable.
Do you struggle with your weight? Are you frustrated or discouraged? Think you've tried everything to lose weight? Tired of weight loss products that promise results and don't deliver? There are 12 main reasons why you struggle with excess weight and have a difficult time losing it. From overeating to hormonal imbalances, an underactive thyroid, even sleep problems, and even dieting itself. The truth is, the 12 causes of weight loss problems are all addressed by one product, Royal Velvet. You, yes you, can join the scores of Rinse listeners who have stopped the madness and no longer struggle with weight issues. Maybe you've heard them talk with Jeff about their amazing transformations on his show. Simply go to RoyalVelvetNow.com, click on the weight loss section, and learn the truth about the real reason obesity is a deadly epidemic that you can avoid. Then click on the Rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you will be on your way to a healthier, slimmer, more youthful you. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
Are you prepared for the future? Do you know how to navigate past the upcoming dangers before it's too late and seize budding opportunities before others do? Forecasting worldwide since 1980, Gerald Celeni, publisher of the Trends Journal, provides timely and accurate trend forecasts that have earned him the reputation as the most trusted name in trends. The proof is in the hundreds of accurate forecasts Salenti has made over the past 30 years. The 1987 stock market crash, the clean food trend, the dot-com bust. The Trends Journal alerts subscribers to early subtle signs of crucial trends that will shape our future. It allows readers to anticipate change, recognize the implications, and take proactive strategies. Put your money where your mind is with Gerald Salenti's brilliant and indispensable Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com or call 845-331-3500. That's 845-331-3500. 3500.